So you can follow along in the service with us this morning. Also, if you have a tablet, you can go to the webpage. I'm going to try to do this from now on. I'm going to try to have the outline on the webpage before we start. So if you want to go to the LakeviewChurchOfChrist.org webpage, at the very right-hand side of the corner, there's sermons, the last couple sermons we have. Today's sermon is already posted there, so you can download the outline straight to your tablet. On my tablet, I have just a Samsung Galaxy tablet. It's a little old, but I can go ahead and download it in the Word format, and I can actually fill in the blanks as we go on the tablet, and you just save it, and you have it as a electronic format from here on out. Some were having troubles this morning doing that with their Apple. It was all gerbled and garbled and all that good stuff, and so I don't know how that's going to work out, but it's just something we thought we'd try. As technology continues to advance, sometimes those paper copies are hard to keep up with, and they end up in the trash, where if you have the electronic copy, you will be able to have that for a while and hopefully be able to remember it. Now, I will have to say this. If you have on your tablet where every time you type a letter, it makes a noise, I would definitely suggest you not do that during our assembly, where you're typing on your tablet and it's making a noise as you're filling in the blank. So you have to take that noise off of there if you want to do it that way. Or you can just do the old-fashioned way, which is not that old-fashioned. Take the outline and fill in the blank, or you can do the real old-fashioned way, get your Bibles out and follow along with us. As we start this morning, I want to remind us of something that we talked about quite a bit for a while. I want to talk a little bit about the heart, how important the heart is to us and in our preaching. Dee Bowman always says, preaching that does not storm the will is not good preaching. And that's really the purpose of our preaching. It's to get us to act differently or to solidify the way that we're acting if that is in accordance with God's will. So if you have our heart here, God's word comes into our heart, and the first area of our heart is our intellect. We have to understand the message. After we understand the message, then it affects our conscience. And either our conscience will say, well, you're doing a good job at this. You've heard a lesson, you understand the lesson, you're a thankful person. You're doing a good job of what God wants you to do, and feel good about that, and that you're pleasing God, and continue to be thankful. But it might be that we listen to a lesson on thankfulness, we understand it. Most of God's messages are not difficult to understand, right? We don't want to overcomplicate things, because our goal is to get down to the will. And so we hear God's message, and it affects our conscience, and we say, man, I am not thankful enough. I complain too much. Or I don't say thank you, or I don't appreciate all the blessings God has given us. Our conscience makes us feel guilty. We have an emotion. And that emotion then, because we don't like to feel guilty, hopefully it changes the way, it makes us change the way that we act. And so at the conclusion of any type of a sermon, the goal is to act according to God's will. We understand what God's will is. We either feel guilty about that, or we feel good about that. We have an emotion. And then we have a change in action. And so some lessons are very simple. And today's lesson is going to be a pretty simple lesson. It's not going to be hard to understand. We're all going to understand it. And at the very beginning of the year, we talked about complaining. And we talked about being thankful briefly. We're going to expound upon this idea of being thankful. Because if you're like me, sometimes you're good at being thankful. But then you get thinking about all the bad things in life. All the things that aren't going your way. Maybe it's health issues. Maybe it's financial issues. Maybe it's job issues. And you start getting down again, and you're not the kind of thankful person that God wants you to be. As Christians, we ought to be a thankful people. So there are really four points we're going to talk about. Sort of like the old they taught you when you were in school, the things that you want to do if you're a reporter, ask a few questions. We're going to look at who should be thankful, when should we be thankful, why should we be thankful, and how do we become thankful people? And those are the four points we're going to talk about this morning as we try to put into practice this idea of being thankful. And at the end of the sermon, we're going to have hopefully some practical ideas and suggestions that you can implement in your life that will help you be a thankful person. It's good to be here today. It's good to have a chance to open up God's Word and find out what God has to say about being thankful. God wants us to be thankful. He wants us to be grateful for all the blessings that He has given us. And so we need to implement that kind of mentality in our life so that as we go about our life, we can be thankful. Think about this for a second. Our first question that hopefully will penetrate all the way down to our conscience and our emotion. people around you. People at work, people at school, people in your neighborhood, people in whatever associations you're involved in. Would they describe you as a thankful person? Would they say, oh, Dwayne, man, he's thankful. That guy is a thankful person. Every time I see him, he's always talking about some other blessing he has or how thankful he is. That is a grateful person. Or if people were talking about you and they describe so-and-so for me, would they look at you and look at your life and say, well, he's always down in the dumps. She's always complaining. She's always arguing. She's always talking about the bad things in life. How would people describe you? That's an important question because we are Christ ambassadors. Of all the people in the world, we should be the most thankful because our names are written in the book of life. Let's go ahead and start with point number one. Who should be thankful? Lazarus has died. Jesus delayed in coming to heal him. And that was the big concern. Why didn't we go early? If we went earlier, then maybe Jesus could have healed him. But now he's dead. As he's approaching town, Martha, the one that was worried about the everyday affairs of this life, comes out and greets him. And Jesus has a conversation with her. And she makes this great confession. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. Because he talks about how he is the resurrection of the life. And do you believe this? Well, Martha then goes back and gets Mary. There are a whole bunch of people grieving with Mary because she has just lost her brother. When she gets up, they think she's running to the tomb, but she's actually going out to meet Jesus. And as they go out, they see Jesus. She has a conversation with Jesus as well, crying, and Jesus looks at her, and then the shortest verse in the English version of the Bible, not in the Greek version of the Bible, is Jesus wept, John 11, verse 35. Jesus goes to the tomb, and although Martha has just confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus wants the stone removed, and Martha points out the obvious. It's been 4 days, Lord. He's going to stink. And Jesus says, didn't I just tell you if you believe, it's going to be okay. You'll see your brother again. Well, in verse 40, he says, did I not just say to you that you would believe and see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me and you always hear me. I did not pray or request this for myself, but for the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So before Jesus is getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead, he takes the time to thank God for what God is about to do. Now, he doesn't thank God, now in advance, for what God is about to do for him, but for the people around him. And we know what happens next. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus comes forth out of the grave, and many of the people who are there with him do believe, and it becomes such a huge problem for the Jewish leaders that they seek to kill him again because people saw that he was dead, now he's alive. And as you can imagine, many people believed in the Lord because of that. Well, in Revelation 7, starting in verse 11, we find out that the angels in heaven are thankful beings. Think about that for a second. The angels in heaven get to be around the throne of God forever. They get to be there continually seeing God. They know God better than we know him at this point. And in verse 11 it says, all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Angels are thankful to be in God's presence because they know there are certain things about God. He says blessings belong to God. Glory belongs to God. Wisdom belongs to him. Thanksgiving and honor, power and might all belong to our God. We worship an amazing God. A God who loves us enough to send his son to this earth to die for us. Every day when we wake up, the first words that should come out of our mouth probably need to be, thank you, God, for another day. And I know that that's not always the first words that come out of my mouth. Got to get up. Didn't get enough sleep. I woke up 10 times last night. You ever have a hard time sleeping? And then you complain about having a hard time sleeping, so you can't get back to sleep because you're so mad that you can't sleep. And you end up so frustrated and aggravated that being thankful to God is the last thing on your mind. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul gives a list of things that should be characteristic of characteristic traits of us as Christians. He said, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And then in verse 14, which is in your outline, it says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. As Christians, we are commanded to be thankful people. That should characterize us. That should describe you. I'm telling you, if at the end of time, on our tombstone, the words, he was thankful, is what people decided to put on there that described you, that would be a great description of you as a Christian. In Psalm 50, God telling his people that he doesn't really need anything from us, but we ought to be thankful for what he gives us. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. So offer all the bulls you want. That's fine. But what I really want from you is I want you to offer thanks to me for what I give you. That's what I want. Obedience. Remember in the great example of Saul? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And to heed and the fat of rams, I think as God looks up down from heaven and people can offer up sacrifices all day long, but if they're offering up their sacrifices of thanksgiving and they're not thankful, then they're just going through the motion. I really don't care about the sacrifice itself. I care about what's in your heart. Are you a thankful person? Are you offering those gifts of being thankful to me? Remember the story of the 10 lepers? Jesus is actually going down to Jerusalem. As he's going to Jerusalem, he has to pass through Galilee and Samaria. And as he's making his way to Jerusalem, there are 10 lepers who are standing off at a distance because you can't get too close if you're leprous. And they cry out to him and they ask him, please heal us. And Jesus tells these 10 men, go show yourself to the priests. And as all 10 of the men are walking to show themselves to the priests, which is what they were supposed to do under the law, so the priest can pronounce them being clean, they're healed. I mean, could you imagine that? Could you imagine having this terrible disease of leprosy where you're an outcast and you ask Jesus to heal you and he says, all right, what you need to do is you need to go show yourself to the priest. As you're walking to show yourself to the priest, you're still have leprosy. And you're wondering maybe as you take your first few steps, what's the priest going to say? He's just going to say, I'm unclean again. Why didn't he heal me? But as you continue to act in faith and as you're making your steps to the priest, because that's what this man told you to do, as you're journeying along, all of a sudden, you're looking, maybe you're looking at the other 9 and you see the leprosy is clearing off of them and you're looking on your own body and you see that the leprosy is gone. In verse 15 of chapter 17 of the book of Luke, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorify God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were these not were found, any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. And the point is, Jesus expects all people who receive blessings from him to be thankful. Not just 1 of 10. And I wonder sometimes in society today, and we live in such a blessed society, but the more blessed we are, sometimes I think the less thankful we are. 1 in 10. God isn't happy if he looks down at our assembly this morning and only 1 in 10 of us are grateful, thankful people. He expects all of us who have received his blessings to be thankful. Now, John talked about this morning at the table, the giving, that giving is a way that we worship God and we bring glory to God. So is giving thanks. See how he noticed here? He says, didn't anybody else return to give glory to God? When we are thankful people, what we are really doing is giving honor and glory to God. He's the one that gave us the blessing. We are putting everyone's attention on the one who blesses us. And that's God. Sometimes I'm afraid as Christians that we hesitate to give honor to God in front of people. You might think we're weird. Tell you what, brothers and sisters, please, please never fail to tell people you're thankful for what God has done for you. And it's not enough sometimes just to say, I'm thankful for. It might be that people need to hear you say, I'm thankful that God has given me this. To put the link between the blessing that you have and the one who gave it to you. That's how God gets the glory. If you just say, I'm thankful for my job, and nobody recognizes that you link the fact that God gave you that job to the job and the thankfulness, then God doesn't receive the glory. But if you say, I'm thankful that God has blessed me with health, or I'm thankful that God has given me a good wife, or I'm thankful that God has blessed me with children, then there's that link that allows the connection to be made and for God to be honored. Giving thanks equates to giving God glory. Well, when should we be thankful? Now, the first point, who should be thankful? Everyone, right? And I think there's going to be, as we look through some verses and some passages, you're going to see that when should we be thankful? It's going to be all the time because God blesses us continually. But let's look at a few examples. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We should be people who are always giving thanks. And we should give thanks for all things through Jesus Christ. So we thank God through Jesus for all the blessings that we have because God has given us all kinds of blessings in our life. Always giving thanks. Again, I bring you back to the question I asked you earlier. Does that describe you? Does that describe you? Do people look at you and say, man, they're just always giving thanks to God for stuff. Every time I see that person, they have another thing they're thankful for. And that's really the kind of attitude that we need to be. I know we get worn down sometimes with life and the bad things that happen. But of all people in the world, we are the most blessed because our names are written in the book of life. And I love the passage, one of the verses out of Psalm 30 that Jerry read for us. It talks about how the bad things, God's anger is temporary. It's but for a moment. But His favor is for life. Even if we suffer for our entire existence on this life, which none of us have, and none of us will, it is a short period of time compared to the amount of time we will spend with God forever in heaven. But God is even better than that. I mean, if that's what God required, if God said, all right, you're going to be on this earth for 85 years, 90 years, 100 years, whatever the case may be, and I'm going to make you suffer the whole time. I mean, oh, it's going to be all bad. It would still be a small price to pay for the reward that He's going to give us for living righteously. But He's so good that He even allows us to enjoy the life that we have on this earth. And most of us, if not all of us, I mean, it's 99% good. Don't you agree with that? There are a few bad things that happen to us in life. We have health problems and we have other issues. But for most of us, if you take a look at your life and the blessings that you have, it's almost all good. And we need to be real grateful for God that He's done that for us. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel has already known that the king has signed the decree that he's going to, if he prays to God, he's going to be thrown in the lion's den. And it says there in verse 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room with his window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed. And a lot of times I think we may forget this last phrase. We talk about how Daniel prayed 3 times, right? Daniel prayed 3 times. It says, he prayed and gave thanks before his God as was his custom since early days. I think that Daniel, already aware he was going to be thrown in the lion's den, you would think that his prayer would be, God, please save me. And there may have been a portion of that in that prayer, but it doesn't mention that here. It says, he gave thanks to God. How in the world can a man give thanks to God when he knows he's about to be thrown into the lion's den? He had faith to know that God was going to save him. Just like his 3 friends that realized even if the king did destroy them in that fiery furnace, God was going to deliver one way or the other. That's how fortunate we are. We know that God will deliver us from this life one way or the other, whether it's through good or bad, we will be delivered to Him for all eternity. We should give thanks to God multiple times a day in our private prayers. So again, we're looking back to our hearts here. And we're understanding this. We know that this is how we should live. We should be thankful people. And we're examining our life. Does that describe us? And now we're looking at our hearts and we're saying, do I approach God with thanksgiving multiple times a day? And is it heartfelt? Am I telling Him how fortunate I am to be His child? In Psalm 119 and verse 62, going back to our having a hard time sleeping, at midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. How many of you did not sleep straight through the night last night? I mean, when you went to bed and the time that you woke up this morning, you did not sleep straight through. You woke up a couple times. Anybody? All right. How many of you, when you woke up, the first thing on your mind was to give God thanks for something? All right, good. Good. Couple people. Most of us not so much, though, right? Because we're complaining that we can't sleep. But just think about this for a second. I was contemplating this morning. When you wake up in the middle of the night, and I know it's frustrating, how many things are there that you can instantly give thanks for? How many of you have a mattress? I mean, some people don't have a mattress. I'm thankful for my mattress. You have a pillow? Thankful for your pillow. Right? You might, oh, that's silliness. No, there's a lot of people who don't have mattresses and don't have pillows. See, we take for granted the blessings that God gives us. And you know what else you have? You have a thermostat on a wall that controls the temperature of your house. Those are great blessings. In the middle of the winter, when it gets to be 0 degrees outside, it will probably be, depending on how warm you like to be and what a tightwad you are, all right? It'll be anywhere from 58, maybe lower in some of your cases, in your house, all the way up to 72 or 3 in your house when it's 0 outside. What about the spouse that is in bed next to you? Or the carpet that you have on your floors? Or the food that you have in your pantry? Or the kids that you have in the bedrooms down the hall? Or the city that we live in. I think we're lucky to be living in Columbus. Or the state of Indiana in which we live. I think it's a good state that we live in. Or the country in which we live. I mean, how many things, when you woke up last night, how many things could you have thanked God for that you didn't? I challenge you this next tonight, okay? Because for some of us, it's going to be tonight. You're not going to sleep all the way through the night. And tonight when you wake up, I want you to thank God for that mattress and that pillow and those blankets and those sheets and all the other good things that you have to be thankful for. And could you imagine the smile on God's face if when we all wake up in the middle of the night, He hears coming from Columbus, Indiana, thank you, God. Thank you, God. for all the many blessings that you have given. In John chapter 6, in verse 10, after Jesus has told his disciples to feed the multitude, they don't have very much food to feed them with. Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Jesus gave thanks for what the miracle God was about to perform and the fact that they had food to eat. In Nehemiah chapter 12, the people have rebuilt the walls successfully at this point. And so Nehemiah gathers the people together, and it's pretty fascinating how thankful they are. The walls aren't as amazing as they once were, nor when they finished the temple was it as amazing as it once was. But so I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right hand and the wall toward the refuge gate, and the two thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God. Likewise, I and the half of the rulers with me, the singers sang loudly with their director. We should thank God after we accomplish His will, His task, what He has given us to do. Be grateful that it has been accomplished. A lot of you make to-do lists. And I just challenge you again. A lot of you love to mark something off that list. It makes you feel good. Some of you do it electronically now. Others just like to be able to scratch it off that you've gotten it done. The next time you put a little check by that box on your phone or on your tablet or on your computer that's done, or the next time you take that pencil and mark through it, say, "God, thank you for allowing me to get this task accomplished. I appreciate it, Lord." Grateful people. That's what God deserves, and that's what God wants. Well, why should we be thankful? A whole bunch of reasons here, but Psalm 136 in verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for His mercy endures forever." We should be thankful people because God's mercy is everlasting. There's no limit to it. Be thankful for that mercy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have another incredible thing to be thankful for. The things that people fear the most in this life, we don't have to fear. The one thing that most people are probably most afraid of is death. Just think about this for a second. God has removed the fear of death away from Christians, because there's victory in death for us. 1 Corinthians 15, that's the chapter on the resurrection, verse 56, it says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." As death approaches, as Christians, we don't have to be fearful. And the closer and closer and closer that we know we are to death, the more thankful that we should be that when we get to that point where death is close, that we don't have to fear. Have you prayed thanking God for that lately? "God, I thank you that I can go to my death without fear." And I'm not saying that we want to die, or that we want to die quickly. I know some of you have expressed some desire that death take you, that the Lord take you, because of certain things in your life. And that's okay. It's okay to want to be with the Lord. But what a blessing that is to know that we don't have to fear death because Jesus has overcome death. In Daniel chapter 2, the king has asked all of his wise men to interpret a dream. But there was one caveat. "You interpret my dream, but I'm not going to tell you what the dream is." And all the wise men of the land told the king, "King, this is something that no one has ever asked anyone to do. You're asking the impossible here." And he knew that they were just stalling for time because he knew none of them could tell him his dream and the interpretation. He was a clever king. And so the men started going around, the king's leaders started going around killing all the wise men because they were not able to do this. When it comes to Daniel, he says, what's the hurry? He asked for some more time. He goes in with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he goes, we need to ask God for help. We need to beg God, God, please give us the dream and the interpretation. Well, that night, Daniel has a vision. And in that vision, Daniel is told both the dream and the interpretation. Now notice how what an incredible thing this is. He's going to bed that night, begging God, asking God, God, I need both the dream and the interpretation. And all the other wise men were correct. No one has ever been able to do this before. But he had faith and confidence in the Lord. And the next morning when he woke up, in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, I thank you and praise you. Thanksgiving and praising God oftentimes go together. O God of my fathers, you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. We should thank God when he gives us wisdom, when he gives us understanding, when he answers our prayers. Isn't it a sad thing? And I know all of us have probably done this at times where we've asked God for something and we've gotten what we've asked for and we haven't completed the loop and made sure that we thank God for what he has given us when we've asked him for it. We got to close that loop sometimes when God gives us what we've asked for. Say, God, thank you for giving that to me. I asked you for it and you responded. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, what we all need to be thankful for is that we're no longer slaves of sin. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine for which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. We should be thankful when other people are set free from sin. We should be thankful that we are set free from sin. We've asked God for forgiveness this week, I'm sure. Have we spent enough time thanking him for the forgiveness he's already given us? And that he makes that forgiveness possible. Let's go through the rest of these quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. We should be thankful when others demonstrate faith and love. Now look, they're suffering. So in the middle of suffering, others are able to look to people who are suffering appropriately, and they're able to give thanks for Christians who are suffering the way God wants them to suffer. And they're holding up God, and they're being patient in that time of suffering. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. So we should be grateful for our food, which we've already talked about. Well, how do we become thankful people? If our conscience has pricked us today, if we heard the message and we realize we ought to be thankful, but we get down here to our conscience and our conscience is saying, I'm not as thankful as I should be. We've already given some suggestions about praying certain prayers at certain times that will help us be more thankful people. But how can we be people who can be described, who can have that put on their tombstone? Dwayne was always thankful in all circumstances. Well, Romans chapter 12, a passage that we're all familiar with, talks about how we need to renew our minds. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and you need not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to think differently. We have to renew our minds and think differently than we've thought before. Instead of thinking about all the bad things in our life, we need to start thinking about all the good things in our life. Because for every person in this audience this morning, I can say with good confidence, the good in our life far outweighs the bad. If your life, if you've been forgiven of all of your sins, that's all you need. If your name is written in the book of life, that's all you need. We're blessed people more than just having our sins forgiven, though. And then Philippians chapter 4, a passage that we that illustrates or emphasizes how our minds need to dwell on good things. Finally, brethren, in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think about all the good things. Meditate on the good things in your life. Verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. We're talking about how really that thankfulness helps. It's a key to contentment. If we're content, if we're thankful, then we will be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We renew our minds by thinking on positive things. And so here's some of our practical application. I erased the thankfulness board in the back. We're going to start over, and you have to be over 18 years old to put something on the thankfulness board for the next 2 weeks. Our kids are much better at expressing their thankfulness than we are. And so there's a thankfulness board back there as you leave the auditorium on the right. I am thankful for. I want us to fill that board up again. Get our minds thinking about good things. Make a list of people and things of which you are thankful and try to add one person to that every single day. And I want us to start developing the reputation of being thankful. So this week, constantly tell others what you're thankful for. Can you verbalize that to other people this week? Can you put that in the forefront of your mind that I'm going to thank God, I'm going to give God honor and give God glory for the things that I have. I'm going to make that connection so when people see that. A couple other things. Well, one more thing. On the website, the new website, if you log on to the new website in the member section, I think Mike is going to be trying this behind me here, there is a blog section. Now, this is just for members. It's under the member section. We could put a blog on for the public as well, but right now we're just experimenting. So there is a blog section, and I started one particular blog post, and it's I'm thankful for. And I put up there that I'm thankful that God's anger is for a moment and His mercy is forever. His favor is forever. You can get on the website every day or so many times a day. And if we're all filling, as we're making our list, if we're all going to the website and we're able to see, hey, so-and-so is thankful for such and such. So-and-so is thankful for this. So I think that would get us in the good frame of mind as we continue to communicate with one another. And that's going to be one of the big advantages of the website is the way that we communicate with one another on a daily basis. So this gives us a chance to, all week long, every day, to put something on that blog post of something that you're thankful for, and then I can read it every day, and I can know what you're thankful for, and you can know what I'm thankful for, and hopefully that will encourage us along life's way. We are, of all people in the world, the most to be blessed, because we are Christians. We serve God, and our sins are forgiven. If your sins are not forgiven, you can have them forgiven today. You can't pick and choose how you're going to do that, though. You can't say, I want my sins forgiven by doing this, or I want my sins forgiven by doing that. If you don't know how to get your sins forgiven, please ask us. We'll take you straight to what God says on how to get your sins forgiven. We're not going to make it up. We're not going to tell you anything. We're going to tell you exactly what's right here. Share some stories with you from God's book. We'll let you know how to get all your sins forgiven. If you know what it takes to get forgiven, your sins forgiven, and you're ready to take that step and be immersed in water to come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, you can do that today. If we can help you, please come as we stand and sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation. meditation. Come whosoever will, praise God for full salvation. For whosoever will, all things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the door is open wide. A place of honor is reserved for you at the Master's side. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will, praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will, all things are ready, come to the feast. While he waits to welcome thee, delay not while the day is thine. Tomorrow may never be. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will, praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will, all things are ready, come to the feast, leave every care and worldly strife, come feast upon the love of God, and drink everlasting life. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will, praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will.
Seated, please.